turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We'll read verses 33 through verse 48. Luke 24, verses 33 through verse 48. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 gathered together, them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way, that is, on the Emmaus road, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." When he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. And the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." What is recorded here is also recorded by John in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 25. And we will be referring to that passage as well, so you might want to mark a place there in John chapter 20, verses 19 through verse 25. But both of these passages, Luke chapter 24, John chapter 20, they both open with some women arriving at the tomb of Jesus upon the first day of the week. We see this in Luke 24, verse 1. We see it again in John 20, in verse 1. So both passages occur on the first day of the week, which of course is Sunday. In Luke's account, in verses 9 and 10 of Luke 24, we read of the women returning from the empty tomb, and they return with word to the disciples of the Lord. John also makes reference to this in John 20 and verse 18. He says, "Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things unto her." The response to the message of the women, as we saw this morning, Luke 24, verse 11, their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. We then read in Luke's account, there in verse 13, of two of these unbelieving and doubting disciples returning, leaving Jerusalem, and making their way to Emmaus. And you'll notice there in verse 13, it is specifically said that same day. So we're still Sunday. That same day. And as we saw this morning, This would be a very, very blessed Sunday for these two disciples. At first, they're very heavy-hearted, they're downcast, they're defeated, they are discouraged, their assurance, their confidence have fizzled away. They have lost their passion, they've lost their ambition, they've lost their zeal for the Lord. But this first day of the week, Sunday, would prove to be a very, very special day for these two disciples. It was on this first day of the week that Jesus himself drew near. And he did so to bless them. He did so to revive them. It was on this first day of the week that Jesus, seeking to bless them, seeking to revive them, that he opened the scriptures and he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The result of this, as we saw this morning, was that they began to experience deep feelings and they began to experience longings within their heart for the Lord. They began to feel a greater passion, began to feel a greater ambition and a greater zeal in their hearts. And their hearts were now ablaze simply by what Jesus had explained and clarified to them concerning himself. All of this resulted in them wanting more of Jesus Christ in verse 29, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us." That is, don't leave now. Come in and stay with us. And it was on this first day of the week that Jesus sat at meat with them, there in verse 30. It was on this first day of the week that their eyes were opened and they knew who he was. It was on this first day of the week that they enjoyed the presence of a resurrected Christ. It was on this first day of the week that the scriptures were opened to them, that the scriptures were explained, and that the scriptures were made clear concerning Jesus Christ. It was on this first day of the week that their soul was fed and their heart was set ablaze. It was on this first day of the week that they saw and recognized Jesus Christ. It was on this first day of the week, Sunday, that their lives, their spirit, and their outlook were all changed. This was a wonderful day for these two disciples. We read in verse 33 that they rose up the same hour, still Sunday, and returned to Jerusalem. It was on this first day of the week that their plans were changed. It was on this first day of the week that their direction was changed. Oh, what a Sunday they were having. They were having a wonderful time. And we read in verse 33 that when they arrived in Jerusalem, that they found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. So there were more than 11 assembled together. John, in his account, notice in John 20, in verse 19. Then the same day, still Sunday, at evening. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. Then notice, if you go back to Luke chapter 24, these two disciples find the 11 and those that were with them assembled together. And in verse 34, they said, "The Lord is risen, and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done. They told what transpired from their way to Jerusalem to Emmaus. They told what things were done in the way and how he was known and how they recognized Jesus Christ when he broke the bread. So you see, these two disciples, as they get to Jerusalem after what happened thus far on this Sunday, they are excited. And they had something to tell. They had something to tell. They were having a wonderful day. And they were about to have a wonderful Sunday evening as well. I want to speak this evening on a blessed Sunday. A blessed Sunday. We've seen that what has happened thus far has taken place on the first day of the week. Now we want to see what happened in the evening of this first day of the week. If you and I were to look back on our saved lives, I believe that we would find, without a doubt, that the best days of our lives, the days that have had the greatest impact upon our lives, has been the first day of the week, has been Sunday, the Lord's Day. There is no greater day. It is a very, very special day. These two disciples experienced many things on that first day of the week. Things that we too experience on the first day of the week. Then when they arrived in Jerusalem, they experienced some more that evening. Things that we too experience on the first day of the week. As we consider these things tonight, it ought to fill us with excitement about the Lord's Day. It ought to fill us with anticipation about the Lord's Day. I believe as we go through a week, the anticipation ought to be building. Sunday. Sunday is coming. The first day of the week. And there is no better way to start a week than with the Lord. And we start our week on the first day of the week. That's where you have to start. And that's Sunday. Let's notice some things that happened that evening. In verse 36, "And as they thus spake," as they were telling the apostles what had happened. And let me tell you something. What happens in the Lord's house on the Lord's day is something to talk about. We're not to talk about what so-and-so wore and what this person said and what that person said. But what the Lord did on the Lord's day, that's something to talk about. That's something to be excited about. And they went to Jerusalem. And they couldn't wait to tell what they had experienced thus far. And it says that as they were speaking, Jesus himself. Remember those two words? Remember verse 15 from this morning? "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near." Now it's Sunday evening, and Jesus shows up again. Jesus himself, just as it was in verse 15. We read in John 20, in verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus. Came Jesus. He didn't send somebody to represent him. He came. Jesus himself. Those are wonderful words. Jesus himself. Came Jesus. Those are wonderful words because of who he is. He is the Almighty, the Eternal, the Immutable One, the Infinite One, the Omniscient God, the one and only Savior of sinners. And when he shows up, it's a wonderful thing. Simply because of who he is. These are wonderful words because of what there is in him. In him is forgiveness. In him is the righteousness that every sinner needs. In him is the redemption that every sinner needs. In him is reconciliation with God. In him is acceptance. In him is hope and victory. These are also wonderful words because of what he does. They're wonderful words because of who he is. They're wonderful words because of what is in him. They're wonderful words because of what he does. And on this evening, on the first day of the week, Jesus showed up. And because of who he is, because of what is in him, and because of what he does, all the possibility that exists when Jesus shows up. And I believe that when we assemble together, Jesus shows up. And I don't want to miss it. There is nothing more important. Nothing. Oh, the possibility that occurs every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, Jesus shows up. I don't want to miss that. I don't want to be Thomas and miss being there when Jesus is there. But that Sunday now we see twice. Once when they started their journey from Emmaus to Jerusalem, Jesus himself drew near. Now we find that they're back in Jerusalem. And it's evening now. And there he is again. There he is again. Notice, Jesus stood in the midst. Luke 24, verse 36, and as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. John 20, and verse 19, came Jesus and stood in the midst. On that evening of the first day of the week, Jesus came, and he was the center of attraction. He stood in the midst. All eyes were upon him. All attention was focused upon him. Thirdly, he came, he stood in the midst, And he did so with a purpose. He did so to minister to them and to bless them. And I believe when we assemble together, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. And he stands in our midst. If you open your eyes, you'll see him. And he's here for a reason. To minister to and bless his people. The reason why he was there is revealed in his very first words unto them. They are recorded in Luke 24:36 and again in John 20:19. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Now think about that. He's standing in the midst of a people who just 3 days earlier had shamefully forsaken him. And he stands in their midst and he says, peace be unto you. That's grace. That's mercy. When you consider whose midst he's standing, and you consider the words that came out of his mouth, that's grace. And that's mercy. And that the Lord would meet with us is the grace and mercy of God. Because many times, those who have forsaken him during the week come, and Jesus comes and stands in the midst and says, peace unto you. That was his intent, to bring peace into their hearts. This peace is a tranquility. It's a calm. It's a restfulness. It's a quiet. It's a composure and contentment. I believe it's the very peace that filled his own heart as a result of his unbroken communion with the Father. He wanted them to have peace in their hearts. And on that first day of the week, Jesus was there to give them peace. And everything he did, everything he did that evening, everything he said that night, was for the purpose of creating peace in the hearts of these greatly troubled disciples. Everything he did that night was for that purpose, to create peace in their hearts. Fourthly, Jesus ministered to their weakness and their infirmity. Again, his purpose is to create peace in their hearts. In verse 37 of Luke chapter 24, but they were terrified. They were frozen and paralyzed with fear. There's these two disciples. They're telling what wonderful things have happened. All of a sudden, Jesus appears. And the people are terrified. They're frozen and paralyzed with fear. It says they were affrighted. That is, they were bewildered. They did not know what to do. The reason for their terror, the reason for their fear, is because they supposed something. It says, and suppose that they had seen a spirit. They thought that a ghost was in their presence. That was the source of the fear, a wrong supposition. In that evening of the first day of the week, Jesus, seeking to create peace in their hearts, what did he do? He brought them face to face with the reason why they were afraid. He brought them face to face with the condition that they were in. Notice verse 38. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Now, if they would honestly answer that question, it's because we've seen a ghost. Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? All kinds of thoughts were arising in their hearts at that moment. Jesus knew every one of them. And he confronted them. Again, his purpose is to create peace in their hearts. Fifthly, having confronted them about their condition, he called upon them to do something. Again, everything he's doing is for the purpose of creating peace in their hearts. Verse 39, he said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I. That it is I myself. He says, behold my hands. Look at my hands. Behold my feet. John said, behold my hands and my side. What Jesus was doing, again, this command, behold my hands and my feet, must be understood in the context of, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? So there they are assembled on that first day of the week. Jesus said, behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Was he not at that very moment presenting to them the solution for their fear? Presenting to them the solution to their false supposition. Those hands and feet bore the marks of the crucifixion. Those hands and feet testify of the price that was paid by Jesus Christ. They tell us what was done. Redemption and pardon. There is a message of redemption. There is a message of pardon in those hands and feet. Looking at those hands and feet, one would have to say, I know it's him. And I know that he has carried my sins away. Keep in mind, he's there to do what? To create peace in their hearts. He's already confronted them with their condition. And looking at those hands and feet, you must draw the conclusion that my salvation is complete. As I look at those hands and feet, I know that I will never perish. And there he stands in the midst. He stands victorious. He has overcome sin. He has overcome Satan. He has overcome death.
He has overcome the grave. And he says, behold, look at my hands. Look at my feet. Look at my side. And see that it is I. It is I myself. Looking at those hands and feet. There's solace. There's consolation. And looking at those hands and feet, would it not serve as an inspiration to worship Him, to walk with Him, and to serve Him? So in the evening, on that first day of the week, they saw something extraordinary. They saw something momentous. What a Sunday they were having. What a blessed Sunday. Sixthly, Jesus then encouraged them to come into close contact with Himself. You see, it's not enough to simply behold. Verse 39, he says, handle me. As come closer. Touch me. Handle me and see. Touch me and be convinced. Be convinced of what? That it is I. That it is I. Myself. So he says, behold, and then he says, come a little closer. Touch me. All of this was for what? To create peace in their hearts. I believe this is what happens every Sunday. I believe it happens every Sunday morning. I believe it happens every Sunday evening. I believe it happens every time we assemble. Jesus is here. Jesus says, behold. And if you listen, you'll hear Him say, come a little closer. Touch me. And why is He doing this? To create peace in our hearts. Oh, so many today, it's sad. They come to the house of God, they come in mad. They go out even more angry. Well, I didn't get anything out of that. You need to listen. You need to observe. The one who stands in the midst. And you know what? If Jesus is standing in the midst, I don't really care what Brother Rich is doing. I don't really care what Brother Art's doing. I'm not paying a bit of attention to them. I'm paying attention to the one in the midst. People today that go from the house of God, did you see so-and-so? You're looking at the wrong thing. You failed to see the one who stood right in the middle of you. And He's the one that will make the difference. He's there to create peace in our hearts. So He invites them to come a little closer. What He's saying is, draw near. Experience me even more. He's inviting them to experience Himself. Seventhly, Jesus further revealed Himself. Notice verse 40. And when He had thus spoken, that is, after He said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see. After He had said these things, notice what it says.
He showed them his hands and his feet. Oh, they could see his hands and feet as he stood in the midst. But when they drew close, he showed them. They saw what they couldn't see before. You want to see marvelous things? Draw close. Get up real close to Jesus Christ. And is that not our privilege when we come to the Lord's house? He's here. He's in the midst. And he says, come. And as we come, and as we get as close as we can get, he showed unto them his hands and his feet. John says in his account in John 20, verse 20, he showed unto them, those who were assembled, his hand and his side. Thomas, and we've preached on Thomas before, Thomas didn't see his hands that night, didn't see his feet, didn't see his side, didn't have that peace that these others experienced. Oh, what we miss when we miss being in the Lord's house. And it doesn't matter, well, it matters, but not in the context of what I'm saying. Why you miss? You may be providentially hindered. You may be in a hospital. You may be sick. You just can't be here. But you miss. All what you miss. And then, of course, it's much worse when folks choose. When folks say, yes, I know that Jesus will be there, but I've had this plan for a long time, and I got to be away. Oh, how sad. How sad. And oh, what we miss. He showed them his hands and feet. Again, why did he show them his hands and his feet? Because he was there to do what? To give peace. To create a peace in their heart. And what is it that creates peace in our heart? It's when we draw near to Christ and we see him. And he shows us. Eighthly, there was joy unspeakable. It says in verse 41, and while they yet believe not, and that's not unbelief. It says, and while they yet believe not for joy. In other words, they were so carried away with joy that they could hardly believe what they were feeling. They could hardly believe what they were experiencing. And then it says they wondered. It speaks of amazement and adoration. They wondered. John says, notice in John 20, verse 20, and when he had said, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Oh, what a Sunday they're having. Oh, what a wonderful time they're having. I mean, it doesn't get any better than seeing the Lord. It doesn't get any better than spending time in the presence of the Lord. And they were glad. They were assembled because of fear. And when Jesus appeared, they were terrified. But now they're glad. Joy unspeakable. is in their hearts.
Quite a change has taken place. Just like quite a change took place with the two on the Emmaus Road on that Lord's Day. Now it's evening on the same day. Jesus is there again. And oh, what a change. Oh, what a change has taken place in their hearts. Ninthly, they were given understanding of the scriptures concerning Christ. Notice, remember, on this first day of the week, Christ explained and clarified the scriptures concerning himself. Luke 24 and verse 27. And now in the evening of the first day of the week, Jesus again explained and clarified the scriptures concerning himself. Notice verse 44 through verse 46. And he said unto them, these are the words. He's reminding them. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. Notice there it is again. Concerning me. Concerning me. Then opened he their understanding. The reason he did this was that they might understand the scriptures concerning me, concerning Christ. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Everything he's done that night is to create peace in their hearts. When God opens the understanding of the scriptures, there's a peace that comes over us. Tenthly and lastly, they were reminded of their position and their responsibility. Verse 48, he says, and ye are witnesses of these things. Notice John's account in John 20, in verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. He's telling them their position. He's telling them their responsibility. Having reminded them of their position and responsibility, notice verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. They were empowered. And it all happened on the first day of the week. It's a special day. You know, people will say all the time, well, I can worship the Lord any day of the week. That's true. But not if you neglect the first day of the week. You neglect the first day of the week, you're not in condition. You cannot ignore God's pattern, which is the first day of the week, and worship God the rest of the week. Can't be done. Oh, what a Sunday that they had. What a Sunday. And as we look back on our lives, God has given us some wonderful days, the best days have always been Sundays. You look back in the best days, the days that impacted us the most,
The days that affected us have been that first day of the week. Again, we began our text in verse 33 with the two disciples. So excited at what happened to them on that first day of the week that they had to tell somebody. How often do you find yourself telling folks, oh, you should have been at Home Baptist Church Sunday. Oh, you should have been there. It was wonderful. The Lord was there. The Lord spoke to me. That's worth telling. There are a lot of people that tell things that aren't worth hearing. They're not worth telling. But that was worth telling. What had happened to them on the Lord's Day. So they returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him, them. And they said this, the Lord is risen. The Lord is risen. He's risen. Notice in John chapter 20, verse 24 and 25. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, those two disciples on the Emmaus Road, they couldn't wait to tell somebody. Those 11 that were gathered there that night, they couldn't wait to tell somebody. And they said, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. And they began to tell what happened on that evening of the first day of the week. They left where they had been assembled in the evening of the first day of the week. And they said unto Thomas, we have seen the Lord. Things worth telling happen on the first day of the week. Extraordinary things happen on the first day of the week. There are extraordinary possibilities for you and I on the first day of the week. Plans are changed on the first day of the week. The direction of lives have been changed more than any other day on the first day of the week. What a blessed Sunday they had. And oh, how we ought to thank God for the first day of the week. It's the day of days. Notice verse 26. And after 8 days, counting that Sunday, which brings us to the following Sunday, again, that ought to be so every Lord's Day. We're ending one Lord's Day and another's coming. Again, his disciples were within. Thomas was there this time, but then more importantly, notice what it says. Then came Jesus. Three times now. The two disciples on that Emmaus Road on the first day of the week, Jesus himself drew near. On that Sunday evening of that same day, Jesus came. Now on the following Sunday, there it is again. Then came Jesus, and he stood in the midst again. There he was, where everybody could see him. And he was there for the same reason again. Peace be unto you. And everything he did that night was for the purpose of creating peace in their heart. Oh, how we need to look forward to the first day of the week. Oh, how we need to prepare. You and I have been, most of us here, have been coming to church on the first day of the week for many, many years. We ought never grow tired of it. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. Most of my Sundays, as I've been saved now almost 40 years, most of the Sundays of my life now have been spent with the Lord in the Lord's house. What a life. What a life. What a wonderful privilege. Oh, the possibilities that exist on the Lord's Day. And I realize possibilities exist every day and we're thankful. But I believe with all my heart the Lord's Day is special. And we need to keep it special. And I believe the Lord does special things on the Lord's Day. And I believe the Lord blesses His people on the Lord's Day like He does no other day. Oh, they had a wonderful Sunday. And I hope and pray, and if it isn't so, it's our own fault. But I hope and pray every Sunday God gives us, we can say, oh, what a blessed day. Oh, I wish it wouldn't come to an end. Oh, I just wish we could stay on Sunday. Don't you wish every day was Sunday? Don't you wish we could just keep it Sunday? It'd be wonderful. But we'd be useless to the world. But oh, how we ought to look forward to being in the Lord's house on the Lord's day with the Lord's people, but most of all, in the presence of Jesus Christ. There He stands in the midst. And He says, come a little closer. And I'll show you wonderful things. I'll show you things that will help you through the week. I'll show you things that will give you strength through the week. Oh, what a blessed, privileged people we are with what we can experience on the Lord's Day. Brother Larry, if you'd come and